Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just after 11, welcome back. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Much appreciate you making the show part of your day as always. Got a double play non-sports items from our lives coming up at 11:45. Another former Redskins assistant is moving up the coaching ranks. We'll discuss that. But right now, let's get to the hotline. Welcome onto the show, Jeff Zilgut. On the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is where we find Jeff. And before we get to Blake Griffin, and congratulations on some of the breaking news that you helped to provide yesterday, we got the breaking news in town today that John Wall needs a knee cleanup. He's going to have a minor operation tomorrow. He's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, and everyone in town is now panicking. Jeff, what do you think this means for a Wizards team that's just kind of treading water in the middle of the Eastern Conference playoff picture?
Well, that's exactly it, you guys. It's a tough injury for the Wizards to have to deal with at this particular point. They're going to have to rely on Tim Frazier, Thomas Satoransky. They're going to have to put even as much of the load as Bradley Beal has carried offensively. He's going to have to do a little bit more. And then also, you know, don't discount what a healthy John Wall needs on the defensive side of things as well for this team, being the on-ball stopper, coming up with steals. When the rebound gets to him, the transition offense, that stems from the defense, those are all things that, not many guys in the league can do as well as John Wall. And let's just get down to it. You're missing an all-star and an all-NBA-type performer for the next 6 to 8 weeks. The one thing I can say to get to your question about the Eastern Conference, I'm going to keep the Cavaliers out of the discussion for now, but it seems like teams 4 through 10 in the East, a five-game winning streak can put you up at the fifth or sixth seed, and a five-game losing streak can drop you to ninth or tenth.
Jeff, what should they do as a team, talking about the Wizards management brass organization, given this news, versus what will they do if you have to predict?
Yeah, well, I don't think what they will do and what they should do may end up being the same thing. I think for a team like the Wizards, given their salary cap situation, you add to the margins where you can. I don't think they're going to do anything beyond that. If you can make some kind of deal that gives you maybe a little perimeter depth, you go ahead and do that. But I don't think this is the kind of injury, given where they are this season, that you make drastic moves. You let John Wall undergo the procedure, you heal. And, this is the tough part, and I think this is not the great form for this, but the overriding topic is, and I know this must be tough for probably 28 other teams in the league, is you feel that, no matter how well you're playing, you really don't have a chance to beat Golden State in the finals, or possibly Houston, if that's the case. But 28 other teams, if they're realistic about it, feel that they're not going to win a championship. So outside of what we saw the Clippers do, the Pistons do, I'm not sure that it's in the best interest of the Wizards to make any kind of, blockbuster deal. I don't think it's worth advocating giving up any of those players that would be included in such a deal.
Jeff Zilgut of USA Today has done a great job for so long covering the NBA, and a longtime buddy of mine here on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Best case scenario is John Wall comes back in 2 months. He looks like last year's version of himself, and the Wizards are rolling going into the playoffs. How plausible is that, though, that they could be, that tough out with Wall leading the way? That is a dominant potential, playoff first round team that gets to and gives Boston or Cleveland a run.
Well, if that's the case, the scenario you're describing, and even Boston has looked vulnerable at times this year. Don't forget, Toronto is right on their trail in at the top of the East. Cleveland certainly has its struggle. So depending on the matchup, let's say you even can, you know, if they were able to finagle a 5 seed out of it, there's a realistic chance you get to the second round. And then you get to the second round, and, you know, look, I wouldn't consider them a favorite against any of those teams, but the very point you're making is if you look at last season, they are a game 7 away from reaching the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought under the best case scenario, they're healthy all year, I thought they were a top 4 team in the East. And so I could certainly envision that scenario that you're talking about, and that they could give a Cleveland, a Toronto, or Boston a real difficult time, if not pull an upset against one of those teams. It's, you know, I know Boston is probably the favorite to win the East, and Toronto next. And then, you know, I'm never going to discount a Cleveland team with playoff LeBron, and that's capital P, capital L. You know how dominant he is, and yet they've looked more vulnerable this year than they have at any point since LeBron has returned. But, you know, what you guys are saying, though, Grant, when it comes to that's a big if to get them rolling, knowing that John will have only been back, you know, probably for, you know, it takes him to about the beginning of April, maybe even a little later than that. You know, so that's a tough ask to get that team rolling at that point for the playoffs.
Our buddy Jeff Zilgut knows the association well. That's why he's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline with us here, Grant and Danny in D.C. Jeff, how much of the Wizards' disappointment this year? It's not like it's been a disaster, but they've been up and down. They've been inconsistent. Every basketball writer with space, basically, in a column has lamented they should have taken the next step. How much of that do you blame now, knowing that Wall had a knee problem? How much of that is Wall kind of not being himself at times versus other guys struggling versus Brooks? Kind of build a pie for us.
Yeah, so obviously, ever since John bumped knees with a player in that November 7th game against Dallas, he has not been right. He missed a couple weeks in late November, early December to try to take care of that. And you know, if you guys saw it, there was a story, I think it was Zach Lowe, who does a great job covering the league for ESPN, you know, made the comment in one of his stories that John Wall is doing the most standing around of, you know, any top-tier player in the league. And if you look at it with this kind of hindsight, you certainly understand that John was trying to conserve every bit of energy as to not, you know, put himself, you know, not only at more risk, but to protect the knee, to make sure he could give what he could when he can. And so you certainly take that under consideration. You also take under consideration the construct of the roster, the salary cap situation. You know, they did what they had to do with Otto Porter. I understand that. That also didn't leave them with a lot of flexibility when it comes to the roster. And I will say this, even if they didn't sign Otto Porter in the offseason, they didn't have a lot of flexibility with the salary cap situation. And so they did what they had to do there. They've certainly gotten a lot out of Mike Scott coming off the bench, but this is probably a story you guys have heard for the last couple of years, at the very least, is that that they could use some bench help. And, you know, again, Satoransky has given them some decent minutes at times, so is Frazier. But it's also not the kind of bench that a team like the Toronto Raptors trots out there, or a team like even the Cleveland Cavaliers is as old as that bench could be at times. You know, that's not the bench that the Wizards have. And when you add those things up, you can sort of see why it's an up and down season.
Jeff, let me jump to why we initially wanted to get you on. The major news has, of course, been replaced by more major news. That's how the NBA works. But the Blake Griffin trade to Detroit, only a few months ago, he's the centerpiece of the Clippers, $173 million deal, and that's all gone. I'm one of the rare people, it sounds like, in the industry that I like this deal for Detroit. Everybody's killing it because of the Caps, you know, the lack of flexibility. They got rid of Avery Bradley. They got a trade exception. And at least they're trying something. I like the potential of him in Detroit. But give me your take.
You know, so I do, too. And let's look at this under the guise of how the Detroit Pistons operate in terms of their market. I looked it up. The last major free agent they signed was Chauncey Billups in 2002. It's just not a free agent destination for top-tier players. And so if you look at how Stan Van Gundy has operated as president of basketball operations, and he's also coach of the team, that he has made trades. You look at Marcus Morris' deal. Marcus Morris still had 4 years left on his extension. He trades for Tobias Harris, who had just signed a deal in the offseason. Not the size of the deal that Blake Griffin did, but he's traded at the trade deadline the season after he signs a four-year deal. If you look at the Reggie Jackson acquisition, Reggie Jackson was headed into restricted free agency, which meant the Pistons held the cards. That's their version of free agency because they know how difficult it is to attract those players in free agency. We know where all those guys go by and large. Greg Monroe might have been the outlier a couple of seasons ago when he signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. You usually didn't see a top 10 or top 10, top 15 free agent, not including what LeBron did a couple of years ago because that's a different scenario. But those mid-market or small market teams, however you want to look at them, they are not the free agent destination by and large. And so the Pistons understood it. I understand what you're talking about with salary cap considerations, but it wasn't like they were going to be able to get a Blake Griffin by and large, given the history in free agency anyway. And so you have him for at least the next three seasons. There's a player option on the last year of the deal. And Stan Van Gundy, just real quickly, you have to believe that given his three-plus seasons with just one playoff appearance, that he is fighting for his job, both as president and coach, and he needed to do something that gets the Pistons into the playoffs. I just said a minute ago, you could go on a winning streak or a losing streak. On December 30th, the Pistons were in, I believe, fourth place in the Eastern Conference. They lose 11 of the next 13, and now they're at 22-26. And so he needed to do something. That's why I like the deal for the Pistons. If we look at New Orleans, they had some success with the DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis combo. And Stan Van Gundy has worked with big men before, and Blake Griffin can pop outside as well. Maybe he and Andre Drummond could form a similar combination that could give teams trouble. But he needs to make the playoffs, and that's why, from Detroit's perspective, they made that deal.
Jeff Zilgit, one of the best covering the NBA on Grant and Danny. Yeah, we always find, by the way, that your blog with Allison Inspiring. What's the latest? Give us a little update before we let you go, Jeff. You've been fighting, and people have been following your story, I'm sure, fighting cancer over the last couple of years. Tell us what the latest is.
Yeah, so look, I try not to get too excited about good news, but with the treatments I've undergone, including radiation as recently as December, we've seen the size of my two tumors decrease. Not by a large amount, but anytime you have tumors that are decreasing rather than increasing, you're going to take that good news. So thank you guys for asking. We're happy about that development. I'm not out of the woods. I have a ways to go, but we're certainly happy with what we're doing right now in terms of our medical staff and the treatment I'm undergoing. And we hope to continue to see some success. The one thing, just briefly, that nothing's ever guaranteed or promised along the way in everyday life, and certainly when someone has cancer. So no one's going to promise me that this is going to go away, but we certainly like the direction we're in right now.
Good to hear, brother.
It's great news, man.
Keep chopping,
it's
man.
It's good having you back on the show, and you sound great. Thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
That's perfect. Look forward to seeing you guys at the game soon, too.
Jeff. It's Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, talking hoops. The latest, not only on Blake Griffin, but John Wall breaking today.
It's Grant and Danny. Want to tell you about our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. We check in every couple of weeks. We get some food from them. We get some advice from them. We learn how to navigate our daily lives. I've lost over 40 pounds. Grant's lost over 70 pounds. And we have found a way to keep it off. Not just some magical formula. It's thanks to EMP 180 Weight Loss. They will help you. You got to take advantage of their free consultation, GP. Go and see them and change your life.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get into EMP 180 Weight Loss. They got two offices. One in Virginia for all you folks where Virginia's doing great, in Tyson's. One in Maryland, in Rockville. They're going to help you lose weight. That's what they did for me. That's what they did for Danny. But it's so much more than just dropping LBs. It's about changing your lifestyle. It's about being healthier. It's about avoiding illness and things as you get older that would have happened that won't if you're in shape. That's what EMP 180 Weight Loss has given us, a opportunity to be healthier for the rest of our lives. Call them at 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180, or go to EMP180weightloss.com. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. We are on Twitter. You want to follow Danny, he's at Funny Danny.
You want to follow Grant, at Grant H. Paulson.
NFL trade rumors tweet moments ago I just saw. Says they have an update on Kirk Cousins. I'll read it to you and get your reaction. First time I'm seeing this as well. Former Redskins head coach Mike Shanahan tells Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News there's no question in his mind that quarterback Kirk Cousins is, quote, a special player.
No!
He's going back against what Scott McLuhan said. There's no question in my mind that he's a special player, Shanahan said Monday. If you don't think he's a special player, that means you don't watch him practice very often. You take a look at some games he's played in. He hasn't played with a good defense that's been in the upper half of the league, I don't think. So he's since he's been there, you can't always do it by yourself. You got to have an offense and a defense for a quarterback to be very successful, especially when you get in the playoffs. But I guarantee you, he's a special guy.
I thought we'd gotten over this.
Cousins would be a good fit for the Jets and their offense. This shouldn't surprise you. Jeremy Bates got promoted to their offensive coordinating role. He, at one point in time, worked under Shanahan, which is why the Jets have become more intriguing, supposedly, for Kirk Cousins. Here's another Shanny quote. I think Cousins could be successful in any offense that he ran. Those quarterbacks are hard to find, but everybody needs playmakers around them. I think that's what everybody else's job is, to get those coaches the best supporting cast. But it starts with the quarterback. When you have a guy like Kirk Cousins on your team and you can get a supporting cast for him, he will play well. What do you make of all that?
I thought we didn't have to do the special thing anymore. I thought we were done with the elite, which is the new special, or special's the new elite, and then we had to decide whether someone was special, and that was an insult somehow. I thought we settled the, like, there are three special guys. They're all Hall of Famers. Oh, well. Such as it is. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything revolutionary outside of the special part. It's that...
I agree with everything he said.
Yeah.
Other than... You know, again, what is special? Is that elite? Is that top five? I don't know. I'm not going to engage in that. But the idea that he hasn't had a good defense, for a quarterback to have success, he needs stuff around him. Cousins is pretty good and can be pretty is really good and can be really good in a lot of offenses. I agree with all that.
Yeah, there's nothing revolutionary there. That was what I was about to say is if you place a quarterback that's pretty good in a good situation, good things will happen. If he's in a worse situation, hold on, hear me out now. This is crazy. Things will get worse. So, there you have it. Again, I don't think anything – if you drop Matt Ryan onto a crappy team, Matt Ryan's numbers would be worse probably, and so would the team results. If you put Ben Roethlisberger on a worse offense with worse personnel, with worse coaching, probably would get worse results. Nothing crazy there. Nothing to see. I don't think there's any burning building that we're trying to divert your attention away from. Industry standard right there.
Speaking of Mike Shanahan, when he was here in Washington, his offensive coordinator was Kyle Shanahan.
Kylehan, baby.
He is now the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He had an outstanding first season, and he finished that year helping to turn that program into a winner 5 consecutive weeks at the end of the year after he got himself Jimmy Garoppolo via trade. The top assistant to Kyle Shanahan on the offensive staff was Sean McVay, probably the head coach of the year in the NFL, the most respected young coach in the league. Just took the Rams to the playoffs in a worst-to-first season. One of the other assistants on that staff was a young guy who was coaching quarterbacks at the time named Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur was fired when Kyle and Mike were fired. They kept Sean McVay at the time because Sean McVay had a relationship with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden and him have long been buddies dating back to their days in Tampa. Understand something, though. If Sean McVay didn't happen to be friends with Jay Gruden, he would have also been fired with Kyle Shanahan and with Mike Shanahan and with Matt LaFleur. LaFleur today took a job as the offensive coordinator and play caller with the Titans. So LaFleur went to Atlanta when Kyle was the offensive coordinator there and coached the quarterbacks. His first year after getting fired, he went to Notre Dame and coached their quarterbacks. So he came back to the NFL and worked under Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. They went to the Super Bowl, by the way. Matt Ryan had the best year of his career. Then he went to L.A. and worked with Jared Goff as the quarterback's coach there and the offensive coordinator for Sean McVay, the head coach. So here is the LaFleur track record. He's in Washington when Griffin has his 10-win season, his best year. Cousins' development, obviously. He gets fired. Then he goes to Atlanta. Matt Ryan peaks. Then he goes to L.A. You see what happened with Jared Goff. He was the O.C. under Sean McVay. But if you're the OC for an offensive first guy like a Sean McVay or a Kyle Shanahan, you don't get to call plays. There's not a ton of responsibility. So the Titans had an opening with a defensive head coach. And what did you and I say last week?
Talking about Arizona, for example. Steve Wilks gets the head job, former Carolina DC. The OC is a huge deal on a defensive first staff.
Especially, though, with the young quarterback like Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah.
You have to find an offensive mind to work with that guy who's going to put him in position to succeed. Ken Whisenhunt got fired. Now you've got another staff fired because they haven't gotten out of Mariota what the Titans and their highest brass think that should be gotten out of him. So you brought in a defensive head coach in Mike Vrabel. He's not going to be the guy working with Mariota. Who is? The answer is Matt LaFleur, who ran read option in 50 series, dual threat stuff with Robert Griffin, got a lot out of him. So now he is the offensive coordinator and the play caller in Tennessee. So I set all that up to ask this question. We can get into this in a minute. But look at that staff. These are the guys I covered for the 4 years I was on the beat, by the way. Mike, the head coach, Kyle, the offensive coordinator, McVay as a tight ends coach, eventually became the OC, LaFleur as a quarterbacks coach. Three of them are likely to be head coaches within the next couple seasons.
Two already are.
Two already are and have done a bang-up job through 1 year. Does any part of the success that these guys are having, McVay, Kyle Shanahan, any part of the way that it ended after they left with Robert Griffin, which is basically why they got blown out, because that relationship soured and went off the rails and they weren't winning. Does any part of you go, oh, man, maybe the Redskins got this wrong? Or is it just too late and it's water under the bridge and nothing matters? 800-636-1067. We're talking about an eighth of the league could be coached by these guys, essentially.
Yeah, it's funny to think about that way, yeah.
800-636-1067. That does not really happen, that three young assistants on one staff could end up being head coaches in a short time. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, your thoughts are next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was announced this morning that the Tennessee Titans had named Matt LaFleur their offensive coordinator and play caller. He spent last year as Sean McVay's OC with the Rams. He was the quarterback's coach when McVay was the tight end's coach. And Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator under Mike Shanahan here in Washington. That tree is continuing to spread its limbs. Sean McVay, the coach of the year, if he wasn't, it might be Kyle Shanahan, both first-timers from the Redskins staff. We're asking you at 800-636-1067 if this in any way changes how you look back at that 2012-2013 fiasco when the Redskins made the trade to draft Robert Griffin. And it shouldn't be forgotten that they won 10 games in a division title the year before they bottomed out and went 3-13. Griffin would go on to play minimally in Cleveland and get hurt again and is now out of football. But he won as the starting quarterback here in Washington regularly and was a successful passer on a successful team as a piece of a 10-win program for a year.
He himself was 9-6, and you know how we feel about quarterback record, but it's just instructive. They
That's
were
9-6 team. He was 9-6. The team was 9-6. But the point of the story is that's going to go down as one of the best coaching jobs in recent Redskins history because that team was not that good. Go back and look at it. It was like Josh Morgan at wide receiver. They did not have a ton of talent.
No, they didn't.
Sixth-round pick Alfred Morris, now a backup at running back.
Was a diamond, was a gem. That was one of the great picks of Shanahan's time.
That system was brilliant. What they did with their running game and read option, in some ways, invented for a few years the way other teams patterned themselves. San Francisco did it all the way to the Super Bowl that year with Colin Kaepernick. You still see staples and principles of it with Carolina and Cam Newton. And they designed it for Robert Griffin, and it worked beautifully while he allowed it to.
So this is what I always argued. Shanahan, the coach, was still very capable. Shanahan, the coach, was still really smart. Shanahan, the coach, was able to empower. Shanahan, the dual role general manager, president, and coach, was a mistake. That's wrong. No one should get to do that, by the way. Even Bill Belichick needs a check at times on what he does, although he's probably the greatest exception to this rule in history. Parcells wasn't as good at it. Holmgren wasn't as good at it. You can name that player or person that's going on to that role. Because as you mentioned, they didn't have great talent. It was schemed up brilliantly. You take Shanahan's acumen in the run game, one of the great running game coaches in the history of the sport. That's not hyperbole, by the way. Who's made Olandis Gary a 1,000-yard rusher? Who's made name that guy off the scrap heap? Tatum Bell damn near ran for 1,000 yards under Mike Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan, from that same tree, had Steve Slayton with 1,600 yards and 11 touchdowns as a rookie. The guy was out of football 6 minutes later.
Yeah.
Their running games are above reproach. So adding that and then the willingness to sort of say, here's a hybrid with a modern passing game, our regular running game, plus this read option business, was brilliant and awesome and smart and kick-ass. It was really, really cool.
We're going to get to a point, and basically the idea I've got here in talking about this is a few years from now where McVay's going to be a really highly thought of and sought after head coach. Kyle Shanahan's going to be a very highly thought of head coach. And I think Matt LaFleur is on that next kind of fast track. And it's not as though he's as young as Sean McVay is. But this is a guy who, in his young 40s, is going to be a head coach in the NFL. He's 38 right now. And I promise you, just like we were saying on this show 2 years ago, you fast forward 365 days, he's going to be getting more interviews. He interviewed for a head coaching job this year. Some of the tweets we're getting in response to the conversation, you can hit us up, 800-636-1067. Andrew said, another question to add to that is if they did not trade for Griffin and drafted Cousins, how good would Cousins be with those three coaches and how good would the team be with all of those first-round picks? I don't know how healthy an exercise it is to even think about that, but if you just want to play a hypothetical game here with Andrew's tweet, you didn't trade for Griffin. I think they would have drafted Tannehill sixth if they didn't move up. I'd heard
that
time a ton that Shanahan really liked Tannehill at number six, and that was kind of his plan if he had his way. So my guess is you still wouldn't have had Cousins. However, let's just pretend like they don't draft Tannehill and they take some other starter, and then they take Cousins in the fourth round, and within a year he's the starter.
Then they've got first-round picks each of their next couple seasons.
Shanahan's probably still here. Cousins is probably on a long-term deal. My guess is Kyle's a head coach somewhere, and Sean McVay's probably a head coach somewhere anyway. So it's not like all those guys, the band would be together. Maybe LaFleur at this point is their OC, who Cousins likes a lot as well. But it didn't work out that way. I mean, they made a trade that at the time I endorsed. I wanted to
100%,
make
I did.
The move to get Robert Griffin. I thought that was the smartest thing. They had to go up and try to get their franchise quarterback, and unfortunately, they swung, and I guess they foul-tipped the first pitch, and then they swung and they missed shortly thereafter.
So a combo of a couple things. One, the bogus salary cap penalty because name that Mara got ticked off that there was this behind the scenes gentleman's agreement not to try to get out from bad contracts, which is what the Redskins were doing because they'd signed Albert Haynesworth to the outrageous deal. D'Angelo Hall had a bad contract. So they converted all that money into 1 year, this uncapped year, and there was a gentleman's agreement not to do that.
Do you remember how much money they got docked?
Was it $32
million? $36 million over 2 years. $18 million in cap space. Think about that for a second. Two straight seasons. We talk about cap space now with this Kirk Cousins discussion like it is pure gold.
Yeah, that's a quarterback at that point. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's your starting quarterback. That's five or six starters, as Shanahan speculated. He says to this day that is the worst punishment basically ever levied to an NFL team. Teams have been caught cheating like the New England Patriots and gotten a first or second round pick docked.
Yeah, they lost like a sixth round.
That's a player who may or may not hit rather than five or six veteran pieces you can go add during the offseason. That's a really good point, and that was part of that tenure. Will says, it doesn't make me think the Redskins got it wrong, but it does make me think Mike Shanahan should be a head of football operations somewhere. I'm surprised he hasn't decided to go that route yet, because I know a couple teams have called and kind of gauged his interest in different things. At some point, my guess is he's going to settle into that John Elway-ish role, VP of football ops, where, as you said, you don't want to do both, but one or the other for him, he's been pretty successful at. I could see that.
Yeah.
Andy said, I don't think maybe the Redskins got it wrong. I know it. They always do. And then we've got a guy here saying, can't wait until Cousins signs his deservedly big deal elsewhere, furthers his career so we can all continue on our path to mediocrity.
Well said.
Thanks for the tweets. I hope LaFleur has a good run in Tennessee. From his standpoint, by the way, that's kind of a gutsy jump to make, isn't it?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You're leaving L.A. with Sean McVay to go to Tennessee with Mariota and a coach who's never done it before.
There's not that many gigs. I know your point, and it's right, and so much
but
as you got to cast your lot.
Move, kind of. You're going OC to OC, albeit you get to call plays.
But that's it. You're in charge. You're OC in charge of offense instead of OC in the room where Sean McVay's running.
Okay,
stuff,
but if Mariota struggles, which he has the last couple years,
two
coaches have lost their jobs because of it now. If he struggles, are you less likely to get a head coaching job because this is how you're now seen as a, like he could be out as a play caller in week nine. If Mariota's stinking and the Titans' offense isn't good.
So that's the risk, but that's what these guys have to do in order to get themselves head coaching consideration. If he's just in the room while Sean McVay's running everything, who knows if he gets the same level of affection and love. But these guys like taking on challenges.
It is hard to hire a head coach who's never called plays.
Right.
Like, oh, this offensive mind who's been everywhere Sean McVay is but hasn't called plays.
So my mind is, he goes, I can work with this. And all these guys think they're invincible. They think their thing is the best thing. They think their experience is the best experience. They think their wisdom is the best. That's how you get to this point. It's how you think that your ass doesn't stink. So he's going to walk into the room and say, this is how we're going to do it. And if it works, you look like a genius because two guys before you couldn't get it done. Now, all of a sudden, you're the hot superstar. You're the Sean McVay. You're the guy that everybody wants to talk to in court. You're Josh McDaniels getting to work with Tom Brady. I'm sure Josh McDaniels is a special genius when one of the great quarterbacks ever to play is carrying him around. You'll be able to say, I converted it when other guys couldn't. And if it doesn't work, you don't stink as bad because you go, well, Mike Mularkey, pretty respected guy, couldn't get this done. A couple other guys couldn't either. Probably not totally my fault.
That's a good point. I've got a funny viral video that I love that I want to see if you've seen for the double play. What do you got?
I got a scam. Be on the lookout for a scam. It's coming back. Be wary of this, especially younger folks around college age and older folks. You guys are the targets.
Wow. Sounds like almost everyone listening. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks a ton for being a part of the show at noon on the Beltway Blitz. We'll cover three teams that you care about, the Redskins, the Wizards, and the Capitals. Bad Wizards news today. John Wall out for 2 months. Good Capitals news today. Evgeny Kuznetsov, who left with a groin injury in their last game before the All-Star
break. Yeah, what's the story?
He was skating, looked like at max capacity.
Oh, thank God.
In practice today. 12-18, Chief Wahoo could be gone from the Cleveland Indians uniforms. What will that mean for the Redskins? Right now, though, let's get to our double play. I have just tweeted out the video that you're going to want to watch that correlates with my double play. Danny, I saw one of the craziest things I've ever seen last night. I'm searching the web for a good double play, as I tend to do. And I stumble across a For the Win story where they've got a video of a rat.
Oh, I've seen this.
Taking a shower like a human.
I've seen it.
I'll further describe this. There is a rat. This rat is big. Standing up, I would say it's about a foot tall, maybe. It's got some thickness to it. It's probably like the width, a little bit thinner maybe than a football if you were like gripping it in your hand.
Yeah, it's a
hardy rat. It's a big rat, right? This rat is standing up on its hind legs. It is using its front legs, because it, you know, would normally be walking on all fours.
Yep.
Basically its arms, to rub soap under its arms, over its arms, on its head, on its whiskers, on its face, on its chest and stomach. It is bathing, showering like a human. It is standing tall like a human, using its front paws to wipe soap all over its body as water runs over it. Then it's scrubbing its back and its butt and between its legs. This is a showering rat. It looks like an adult person taking a shower. When I first saw this video, I thought, this is fake. This has to be fake. This is like all the videos of quarterbacks throwing two footballs, getting caught by receivers, or someone kicking a ball a mile out of the frame, and then it drops, and it's an extra point. No. This is a rat that takes showers like a human. I don't know what else to say other than, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Nothing's okay.
It's so awful.
This rat is going to run the planet. He's bathing like you do.
Yeah, stop. This needs to. First of all, who's taking that video?
Can I say,
I need to know who's taking that video.
This rat actually is doing a more thorough scrubbing than I did today. Like, I got the hot water on me. I ran some soap and some
shampoo. You have asked it in the shower?
I did. It was just like a Wednesday shower, a Tuesday shower. I was like, you know what? Everything got touched by some soap at some point. This dude is doing some scrubbing. Have you seen this?
Yes. I watched it for 0.1 second before I clicked off of it.
Dar, have you seen this? I need you to see this rat.
It's so awful. It's so gross. The rats are the worst. They are the worst. They're the absolute worst. They're so gross. They're so crawly. They make noise. They're creepy. They're disgusting. They carried the plague. They almost ended humanity. Something needs to be done to move on from them.
This rat ended humanity because it's the cleanest rat ever, first of all. I mean, this guy's so clean.
He's going right back into the sewer, Grant. He lives in the sewer. He lives in garbage. He thrives off of your garbage. Think about that. The things you throw away, he's like, yes.
Why is he doing
this? Because rats, there's this movement to like, for like certain people in like the animal community that try to explain to us that rats aren't gross. Settle down with that. They are disease-ridden, filthy animals.
Actually, they're cleaner than most mammals.
Shh, silence. Disgusting. Crawly, disgusting rats. Please kill that rat. Kill that rat.
Kill
anyone
it.
Yes, murder.
No, don't kill it.
Kill it instantly.
We need to question it. We need to talk to it.
No. We don't need to learn anything. Kill them all.
Don't kill it.
Every rat.
It can shower like a human.
Kill them all.
No, God.
Every rat.
This is, and I'm not doing a bit so that you go watch the video. I'm just telling you.
I've already watched it.
Don't click the link on my Twitter account if it makes you feel better. Just Google it. This is one of the most fascinating and amazing videos I've ever seen.
That rat needs to go.
Is it crazy to say this is one of the 5 craziest videos ever? It's in the conversation.
It's in the convo. I mean, everyone was enamored with Pizza Rat in New York.
Yeah,
the piece of pizza.
I could see happening. It's just a rat grabbing food on the ground.
Yeah, the rat's hungry.
This is a rat standing up showering like a person.
Kill this rat. Kill every rat.
Dar.
But start with that one. That's their leader. That's going to be the uprising.
That rat is going to be pulling some dude's hair and making food in Paris in like 8 months.
That's a ratatouille
like
bit.
That's a ratatouille bit, by the way.
Here we go.
I've seen Ratatouille. That's pretty good. I got a niece and a nephew. Hey, Dar, I want to go back to this. Is there any way that this video is fake?
No. I mean, first of all, why would anyone fake that?
I don't know how you could or why you would. How can a rat stand up and shower
again,
with his arm?
I mean, I feel like a rat can stand up pretty easily.
Oh, they do.
It has the wherewithal to get soap and then apply the soap.
That's what's amazing.
Things you need to understand about rats.
The application of the soap, Danny?
They can climb. So like, you've seen a squirrel climb a tree because it's got the gripping. Think about like a smooth metal pipe that's used for drainage. Rats can go up that. They can go straight vertical if they want to. They can go
rats
anywhere and do anything.
Rats are more scary than snakes, I think, what you're saying.
They are so vile and disgusting. The only thing that can be a predator for a rat is a snake. That tells you how terrible the rat is.
Danny.
Get rid of this. This is their leader. Kill this rat. Shoot a nuclear missile at that rat.
To Dar's point, this rat standing up, not crazy, kind of cool if I just saw a video of him standing there.
Not cool.
Him standing in the shower with water running on him would also be kind of crazy and kind of cool, but not the end of the world. The fact that he is not just having the soap, but applying it. I mean, there is scrubbing. He lifts up his arm and goes to the armpit.
Jail the person who filmed it and ask him all the questions and figure out what really happened. Then kill that rat. Find that rat, determine where it's going, what tribe it's a leader of, and then take them all out.
I just realized what's happening. My buddy just texted me and he's right. This is Master Splinter. This looks just like Splinter, doesn't it?
I learned from my master in the cage.
That's a great character back in the day.
It is. Look
but
at
he needs to go.
Honestly, look
yeah,
at this
Master
guy.
Splinter needs to go.
This is Master Splinter. He will train the turtles. This is the guy right here. He looks identical to the character Master Splinter. Same build, same color, same everything.
I mimic the movements of my master, Okosaki-san.
I'm telling you, that's a cool story because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rocks. That rat needs to go.
I'm so happy about
this rat.
It's
got to go.
Is it weird that I want this rat as my pet?
No! I mean, yes, it's weird. Completely weird.
Speaking of which, I went and played with a French bulldog yesterday.
Probably more fun than playing with the wet rat.
We're getting closer and closer to French bulldog time, by the way. We're getting closer and closer.
Mm-mm-mm.
It is time for your double play. It will not be as good as that video, I promise you, at Grant H. Paulson to see it.
Almost tax season. Warning especially to students or folks that are just out of college and you have some debt or older folks. The IRS scam is back, GP. An IRS scam is back. This is a Forbes article that I am reading from. This has been something that comes around every so often. Scammers will call you and claim that they are from the IRS and you have an outstanding tax bill. They threaten things like legal action. They threaten things like police. They threaten things in very creative ways to make you feel as if you have money owed. They take advantage of people that appear on certain kinds of credit reports. So the feeling may be that you actually do owe something. Know this, the IRS will never call you on the phone. They don't do that. If somebody demands the first time you speak to them for any kind of information, meaning your home, your social security number, your address, phone numbers, any kind of credit card information, there are things where they've swindled people here in the last month or so, GP. They've gotten someone to go get them an iTunes gift card and send in the money that way because guys are so scared of the repercussions. It is out there. It happens. Stay safe. Never, ever give out any information from anybody that you don't know on the phone. Ask to be sent some literature. If you have to set up a dummy email address to do so, do that. Know this. The IRS will never call you. Now, they'll send you a lot of letters. They love sending computer-generated letters. They don't call you on the phone. They're too busy for that. And if you want to check it out, you can call the IRS. You can call the IRS directly. They're very friendly. Very fun to deal with. 800-366-4484. You want to check up on what the IRS may or may not be doing with regards to you and your account. You have every right to know. 800-366-4484. But the scam is back. Be careful.
All right. The scam is back, and now you have the IRS's number as well.
There you go.
Is that a public service announcement?
That is a PSA because somebody tried to do this to me not that long ago. I laughed them off the phone, but I could absolutely see somebody like not really paying attention, who's nervous, who's in debt, being scared of this because the guy was very convincing at first.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, your Beltway Blitz on the Redskins, the Wizards, and the Capitals all in one segment right here on the Fan.
Hi, everybody. Danny Ruhier from my pals at Tedbert Ford. I love these guys. Right now, there's a moment. You have a choice to make. Keep driving a car you don't love. Keep driving that old bus to join. Or go to Tedbert Ford in Fairfax or Chantilly and get 130% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. Once you've done that, you can drive off in something that you do love. You can drive off in a brand spanking new 2018 Ford Fusion for just $150 a month on a lease deal. Always at a great deal. How about a lease or 2018 Ford Escape for just $150 a month? Or buy it. The choice is yours, Black Sheep, for just $16,999. You can lease a new 2018 Ford Explorer, just $230 a month, or buy it and save up to $10,000 off the MSRP or $11,000 off the MSRP for an F-150 pickup, or again, a lease for just $249 a month. The Ruyers, two Tedbert Fords in the family. Wife got the 2016 Edge. I got the 2017 Ford Fusion Energy. Energy, baby. I don't pay for gas. You don't have to either. Go get a Ford Fusion. Go see them in Fairfax and Chantilly. When you go to Tedbert Ford, please tell them.
Such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.